Governor, thank you for being you. Senator, thank you for being you. We thank all of the honorable elected officials for getting out there and getting in what I call the way. For getting in trouble, good trouble, necessary trouble. Now, I didn't grow up in a big city like Richmond. I didn't grow up in a big city like Washington, D.C., or Los Angeles, or Boston. I grew up in rural Alabama on a farm. My father was a sharecropper, a tenant farmer. But back in 1944, when I was 4 years old, and I do remember when I was four, my father had saved $300, and a man sold him 110 acres of land. My family still owns this land today. So during many, many days and many years, long before I was even a dream, when we came over the ocean 400 years ago to this land, we learned to pick cotton. We learned to work in the tobacco fields. We learned to plow mules. Sometimes we were beaten and left for dead. But we never gave up. We never gave in. We never lost hope. We kept the faith and we kept our eyes on the prize. So somebody, somewhere should say thank you. Saying nothing has changed. But let me tell you, we live in a different America. When I was growing up and working in the heart of the civil rights movement, people had to count the number of bubbles in a bar of soap, the number of jelly beans in a jar. People stood in immovable lines. We no longer have to count the number of jelly beans in a jar. No longer have to count the number of bubbles on the bar of soap. Because somebody, somewhere, and sometime gave a little blood.
Amen.
And during this season that are coming up, none of us, and it doesn't matter whether we're black or white, Latino, Asian American, or Native American, straight or gay, we must turn out and vote like we never, ever voted before. Democracy is in trouble. Need trouble. We must save our democracy and save our country.
Yes.
We must do it. We must do it. When I was growing up and had to go to the field and work, sometimes I would fall behind. And my mother would say, "Boy, you need to catch up." I said, "This is hard work." And she would say, "Hard work never kill anybody." I said, "Well, it's about to kill me." During the height of the civil rights movement, we worked from sun up to sundown the same way we worked in the field. Growing up there in rural Alabama, outside of a little town called Troy, 50 miles from Montgomery, I saw those signs that said, "White men, colored women, white waiting." And I would ask my mother, my father, my grandparents, and my great-grandparents, why? And they would say, "That's what it is. Don't get in trouble. Don't get in the way." But the action of Rosa Parks, the words of Martin Luther King Jr., and the young people in Little Rock, and even here in this city, there was a young man from Selma, Alabama. Some of the lawyers remember this case. Boynton versus Greyhound. He was arrested. He was a student at Howard University for taking a seat in the so-called white waiting room. Became the Boynton case. Because of what happened here, we decided to organize something called the Freedom Ride. I was 21 years old, had all of my hair, and a few pounds lighter. Back in 1961, black people and white people couldn't be seated on a Greyhound bus together, leaving the nation's capital. So in May of 1961, 13 of us, black and white, met in Washington, D.C., under the leadership of Coy and a man by the name of James Farmer, organized the Freedom Rides of 1961. Along the way, we were beaten, and I will never forget, in a little town called Rock Hill, South Carolina, when we attempted to get off the bus, my seatmate was a young white gentleman from Connecticut. We started to enter a so-called white waiting room, and we were beaten, left bloody by members of the Klan. Many years later, the young man who had beaten us came to my office in Washington, D.C. He said, "Mr. Lewis, I've been a member of the Klan. I'm one of the people who beat you. Will you forgive me?" He was in his 70s, he brought his son in his 40s. His son started crying, he started crying. They hugged me, I hugged him back, and I cried. It is the power of the way of peace, the power of the way of love, the power of the philosophy and the discipline of nonviolence. We must never, ever give up on any human being. We must have the power to forgive. We cannot remake what happened 400 years ago. And we're here today as one people, as one family, as one house, living in American house. I got in trouble, what I call good trouble, necessary trouble. Now, so to all of the young people here, and to my colleagues in the Congress, it's time for us to get in trouble again. Good trouble, necessary. My philosophy is very simple. When you see something that is not right, not fair, not just, say something.
Yes.
Since I've been in Congress, I've been arrested another 5 times.
Way to go.
And I'm probably going to get arrested again. How can we be silent when our government, the federal government, is taking little children, little babies from their mothers and their fathers and put them in cages? Oh. We should say something.
Yes.
Stand up and do something. Now, my colleagues know that I'm not a long talker. I try to make it short. I try to speak through action. But I'm sick and tired.
Yep.
Just sick and tired of what has happened on so many levels in our government.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be political today,
It's okay.
But I think it's
you're
time
among friends.
To get in the way. You get
yep.
in trouble.
Yep.
If it means a sit in, just sit. If it means a sit down, sit down. Did all of you see when the Democratic members 2 years ago occupied the floor of the House of Representatives for the first time in history for more than 26 hours trying to do something about gun violence?
Yep.
We got to stop it, the madness. We should have the right to be safe at school. To be safe in church.
Yep.
Be safe at a party, a club. We must have that right. We all are human. We must be protected by our government. We don't need all of these guns. We don't.
Right.
We don't need all of these guns. We must stop the killing and put an end to the violence.
Yes.
We can do it and we must do it. I go back to another point I tried to make earlier. So many of our brothers and sisters, so many of our mothers and fathers never had an opportunity to register to vote, to cast a vote. So when President Barack Obama was elected, was declared the winner, I jumped so high. At Dr. King Old Church in Atlanta, speaking, I didn't think my feet were going to touch the ground. And I start crying, and members of the press ask me, why are you crying so much, John Lewis? So I'm crying for those who never had an opportunity.
Right.
Never, ever had an opportunity to register to vote. Didn't live to see a man of color elected president of the United States of America.
Yep.
I'm crying for my mother, my father, my grandparents, and my great-grandparents. Crying for the Fuller girls that were murdered in Birmingham in a church. Crying for Dr. King and many others, Emmett Till and many others, Rosa Parks, for President Kennedy and Robert Kennedy, two young men that I got to know very well. And sometimes you have to cry. There's not anything wrong with crying. But sometimes just wrap away, just move the tears, and get up again and again and again and keep coming.
Yep.
And I said to each and every one of you, especially young people here, never, ever give up. Never, ever get lost in a sea of despair. Keep the faith. Keep your eyes on the prize. Get in the way, get in trouble. And so we're going to change things for the better. We can do it. And get a good and great education, young people.
Yep.
Stay in school. And be prepared to fight the good fight. For in the final analysis, we are one people, we are one family, we all live in the same house. Not just the American house, but the world house.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter whether we are black or white, Latino, Asian American, or Native American. We are one people. And we must believe in the way of peace, in the way of love, in the philosophy and the discipline of nonviolence. Haven't been for the teaching of Dr. King and Gandhi, our mothers and our fathers, many of us wouldn't be standing here today. So again, I am very, very hopeful, very optimistic about the future. The Air Forces want to take us back, but we're not going back.
Right.
We've come too far.
Right.
And we're not going back.
No.
No.
We're going forward. We're going to create one America. We're one people. We're one family. Yeah. We all live in the same house. Yeah. The American house, the war house. And never, ever give up. Keep the faith. Thank you very much. There's a picture with Arthur Ashe, Julian Bond, and my wife when he came to visit us many years ago.
All right. Amen.
So think about what Arthur Ashe did and the contribution he made. Came out of this state, out of this city. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, the Elijah Folk Chorus Society.